Welcome back to Shattering This. We're going to turn our attention to a prophecy, one that is found in a book named Yashaya. It's been corrupted in the English Bibles that claim to be the inerrant word of God. Well, they've got an errant variation as Isaiah, when the name is clearly Yashaya. Yasha is the Hebrew word for salvation, to save, and a shortened form of Yahweh, familial form of Yahweh. So it's Yashaya, salvation is from Yahweh. When you corrupt the names and you don't understand who is speaking or the name of the individual, you very often can come to errant conclusions. And so it is really important to know that the most prolific of the prophets was named Salvation is from Yahweh. And when you recognize that, then you won't be looking to Jesus Christ or Allah for your salvation. This is begins at Yashaya 1:4. Woe, a warning, alas, to people from different races and places, Goyim, Gentiles, non-Jews. You bear the blame, and you are guilty for having wandered away. The people's distortions and corruptions, their propensity to warp, alter, twist, and prevent, and pervert, are numerous and they're significant. They're burdensome, and they are troubling. And that really is what happened. If you look at the Christian religion, or you look at the Islamic religion, which would be the principal religions of Gentiles, collectively representing, what about two-thirds of the world's population between those two religions. What they have done is they've corrupted, they have twisted, they have perverted the message of Yahweh to steal his credibility while proposing something that is altered, corrupted, warped. And these corruptions aren't insignificant. They are highly significant, and they're not irrelevant to God. They're extraordinarily burdensome and troubling. He goes on to say, they are descendants of those who have done wrong, harming themselves. Yeah, the Christianity is the byproduct of Paul. And it is he was the plague of death. Islam is the byproduct of Muhammad. He was a perverted and warped individual. So it says, they are the children of those who corrupt, pervert, and destroy. They have rejected and abandoned Yahweh. It's true universally among Christians and Muslims. There isn't a Christian nor a Muslim on the planet who knows, who has accepted Yahweh. Everyone, every Christian on the planet, every Muslim on the planet, all of these Gentiles, these Goyim, the people from different races and places, have rejected and abandoned Yahweh. The Hebrew word here is azab. Azab means to forsake, to reject, to abandon, to be forsaken, to be damned is to be azab. They have damned themselves because of their rejection of Yahweh. Now, if a Christian or a Muslim was aware that God's name and his one and only name is Yahweh, and that Yahusha is nothing but a diminished manifestation of Yahweh set apart from Yahweh for our benefit to fulfill Yahweh's promises, and that Yahweh is our Savior, that Yahweh is the author of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, that Yahweh is God, that Yahweh is the father of the covenant, and that there's only one covenant, and it has but one father, then they wouldn't be Christians anymore. They wouldn't be Muslims anymore. They wouldn't be fixated on a mythical individual named Jesus Christ or a mythical God named Allah. They have rejected and abandoned Yahweh, as did Paul, the author of half the Christian New Testament. They have spurned, belittled, maligned, and disparaged. They have even defamed the set-apart one of Yisrael. Now, the set-apart one of Yisrael can be Yahweh. He is the set apart one. His name is set apart. He is the set apart one of Yisrael. He's the God of Yisrael. But it can also be the set apart spirit. The Ruach Kodesh is the set apart spirit. And the set apart spirit is plays the role of Sarah in Yisrael. So when you're talking about Yisrael, it's individuals who engage and endure with God. And it's based on Sarah's name. And Sarah is the model for the role of the set apart spirit in God's covenant family. So she is the set apart spirit. But also the most set apart is Yahusha, because he is not only set apart from Yahweh as a but as a corporeal manifestation of Yahweh's spiritual energetic nature, he is twice set apart from Yahweh. So he is the most set apart of Yisrael. And by separating the set apart spirit and Yahusha from Yahweh, Christians and Jews have, as well as Muslims, have spurned, belittled, maligned, disparaged, and defamed the set-apart one of Yisrael. By casting the renamed Jesus Christ into the mode of Dionysus, they have maligned and disparaged and defamed Yahusha. They are strangers who have gone astray, having turned their backs. That's why Yahusha, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Get away from me. I don't know you. No, you haven't performed in my name. I don't know who you are. You are without the Torah. Get away from me. You are not welcome in my presence." Speaking through the prophet named Yahshaya, Yahweh says, "I am Yahweh. This is my name, and the manifestation of my power I will not give to another, nor my renown and reputation to any form of religious imagery. I am Yahweh." You know, when the religious individuals recognize that Yahweh is God's name, and that he is not giving his manifestation of power to anyone, nor his reputation or renown to anyone or to any religion, it's when they cease to be religious. That means that God did not turn over his reputation or renown to Paul. It means that he did not turn over his reputation or renown to a Jesus Christ. It means he did not turn over his reputation or renown to Allah. It means he did not turn over his reputation and renown, his power, to rabbis like Akiva and Maimonides. He is Yahweh. He speaks to us in first person. That is his name, singular. He has but one name, Yahweh. If you do not know his name, you do not know him. If you think he has another name, you would be deceived. If you think that he doesn't care what we call him, you would be wrong. I am Yahweh. This is my name. And the manifestation of my power I will not give to another, nor my renown or reputation to religious imagery. If you're going to find God, you're going to find him only after you leave religion. You will never find him in any religious context. He will not, has not, is not, will not ever be known, renowned, be discovered through religion. He will never allow his renown to be associated with religion. And his power he is not giving to any other. What that also means is that the whole focus of Christianity, even if they knew his name, that his name was Yahusha, that there is, according to this, that Yahweh did not give his authority, his power, to Yahusha. That Yahusha is nothing more than a diminished manifestation of Yahweh. He is part of Yahweh acting in our world, which means that the Savior, the powerful Creator, remains Yahweh, even when Yahusha was here. I am Yahweh. This is my name. And the manifestation of my power, I will not give to another, nor my renown and reputation to religious imagery. Yahweh was willing, even desirous, for the sake of his sense of honesty and fairness, his commitment to doing the right thing regarding your vindication, Sadak, to reveal his nurturing, empowering, enriching, and enabling Torah, his teaching, his instruction, his guidance and direction, and to prove its worth. Yahweh was willing, is desirous, for the sake of fairness, because of his commitment to do the right thing regarding your vindication, to reveal his nurturing, empowering, enriching, and enabling Torah. The Torah is God's commitment to doing the right thing. The Torah is Yahweh's means to achieve vindication. The Torah is Yahweh's means to nurture and empower us, to enrich and to enable us. Yahweh's Torah is comprised of his teaching and instruction, his guidance and direction. And Yahweh has engaged in our world not just to provide his Torah guidance to us, which you can read by reading any of the books that he inspired, because Yahweh's teaching is found in all of them. But specifically, his Torah is comprised of Bereshit, where he introduces himself to us not only by name, but as the Creator, describing how he created the universe. We also find that in Bereshit, he explains the nature of the flood, which we find to be precisely accurate in time and in means with the actual events that occurred. And then we find him introducing us to the covenant, giving us detailed instructions as how we participate in the covenant. When we return to Shattering Myths, we have Larry with us. Hopefully Larry can stay in past the commercial break, and we will continue to talk about this powerful prophecy from Yahweh, where he introduces himself to us and his purpose and validates his Torah through the prophet named Salvation is from Yahweh. If you are a Muslim and you claim that your Quran confirms the Torah, if you are a Christian and you hold up your Bible as the inerrant word of God, and in the most important of the prophets, you hear God saying what we just read, you are put in a position that the only way you can continue to cling to your religion is to be irrational, because you can't now claim ignorance. Now, previously you could claim ignorance, but now that you know, and I'm going to read this again, and we'll get Larry's take on this. But once you hear the following statement, ignorance is no longer acceptable. The only way you can continue to be a religious Jew, a religious Christian, a religious Muslim, is to be irrational. I am Yahweh. This is my name. And the manifestation of my power I will not give to another, nor my renown and reputation to a religion. Yahweh was willing, even desirous, for the sake of his sense of honesty and fairness and his commitment to doing what is right regarding your vindication, to reveal his nurturing, empowering, enriching, and enabling Torah, and to prove its validity and worth. What do you think, Larry? How do you work around that if you're a religious individual?
You can't. For starters, I just want to throw in here that the love of Yahweh's name, according to him, in Yasha Yahu, meaning salvation is from Yahweh, better known as Isaiah, which means nothing at all.
Right.
He says that love of his name is part of being viewed as family.
Correct.
And when Yahweh, in a diminished form as Yahusha, meaning, again, Yahweh saves, corrupted to the meaningless Jesus and Yeshua thing.
Yes.
These things are important. It's like taking Masiyah and turning it to Masiyach because we hate the name Yahweh.
Right.
But yet,
yeah. Matter of fact, if I just interrupt you there, when Yahusha was providing a very similar kind of testimony to what we're reading here in Yahshayah, and he's providing it to a fellow through a fellow named Yahochanan, and you know what Yahochanan means.
Oh yeah. Mercy is from Yahweh. Yahweh is merciful.
Right. That when he was providing a dictation through Yahochanan and the revelation to Yahochanan, and was speaking about the various nature of people that that would emerge following his fulfillment. And this is now being revealed in 69 CE. So it was long after his fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, Bokurim, and Shavuah. And he's speaking of the Philadelphian outcalling. And he says that he is going to keep them out of the tribulation. Because of two factors, and it's only two factors. He says they are unique among humankind, and I have a special place for them, and you refer to them as brotherly, as brothers, and in a loving context. That's what Philadelphia means, brotherly love. What did he say were the two things that the Philadelphian ecclesia, the called out to Philadelphia, what were the two things that they had an affinity for?
They took his instructions and his name.
That's it. What he said. Yeah, that's it. And isn't that what Yahweh is saying here? That I am Yahweh. This is my name, and my reputation, and my power. I'm not given to anybody else, particularly to a religious institution. And that,
well, yeah, he says in Yahshayahu 56:6-7. He says, "Children from foreign nations who form a relationship with Yahweh, serving Him and loving Yahweh's personal and proper name, who carefully observe and revere the Sabbath and do not treat it with contempt, those who are passionate and empowered by my familial covenant relationship, these I bring to my set-apart mountain." Now, I don't see anything about a religion there. I see something about, Bereith covenant, the family covenant, but nothing about a religion. And one thing, they all have love as name. So.
Right. In fact, there's only one Christian denomination that is Sabbath observant, and I've read everything that they have to say, and they absolutely do not love His name, do not use His name. So even the Seventh Day Adventists, which would be the only ones that actually observe the Sabbath, they are completely lost in space when it comes to Yahweh's name, and they are opposed to His Torah. So there isn't a single Christian that would qualify under this basis, nor any Muslim. Two-thirds of the world's population. Adios. This statement from Yahweh is just so devastating. It's not only that is my name. It's not that's one of my names, or it doesn't say, if you don't really want to call me by my name, that's irrelevant. It's God saying, that's my name. I am Yahweh. That's my name. I'm not giving my reputation or my power to any religious organization, to anyone else. If you want to know me, I've only got one name. It's Yahweh. And so if you're going to a religious organization and they're not using Yahweh's name, if they're not speaking in Yahweh's name, then you want to walk out the door in a hurry. And that would include all Eastern Orthodox churches. It would include the Roman Catholic Church. It would include all Protestant Christian churches, all of them. 100% of Christianity, 100% of Judaism. There's not a single organization practicing Judaism that uses Yahweh's name. And it would include all of Islam.
You said something there I'd just like to respond to. You said if you're worshiping. Yeah, well, if you're worshiping, period.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble. You're not dealing with Yahweh. He wants to be greeted as an individual. He doesn't want to be put up on a pedestal. He's not Joseph Stalin. He's not a guy worried about losing power.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is underscored by him saying, I am Yahweh. That is my name. If you want to be known, engage with someone in a relationship, you say, hi, my name is Larry. Good to know you. Larry is my only name. My name is Yada. Good to meet you. God is saying, my name is Yahweh. That's my name. If you want to know him, then you're going to reach out and know him as Yahweh, and you can't find him in a worshipful religious environment because he says, I'm not associating my name with any religion. And then he goes and says, okay, this is my desire. You know, when Yahusha was talking in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when he was telling all the Christians that were calling him Lord to get away from him, all those that claimed they were doing marvelous things in his name, and he says, get away from me, all of you who are Torahless. And right before then, he says, no one calling me Lord is going to be admitted to heaven, but only those who do, who engage and act upon my Father's will. So Yahweh right here has said he's expressing his will, isn't he? Yahweh was desirous and was willing. So what follows is Yahweh's will. So if you want to be on the right side of that, hey, welcome. I know you. You know me. You're welcome right into heaven. The Father's name and you're acting. You have acted on his will. You better listen to what follows because Yahweh's will is being stated. And what does he say is his will? That he wants to vindicate by revealing, by enriching, by enabling through his Torah. That's what he says, proving its validity. So Yahweh's will is to prove the Torah's validity as the means to vindicate, to empower, and to enrich. So if you aren't interested in the Torah, if you think that Paul annulled the Torah, you'd be in trouble here, wouldn't you?
You'd be sadly mistaken.
Yeah, God's telling you, what's my will? My will is to prove the validity of my Torah teaching so that you can be enriched and empowered and vindicated. Well, that's a pretty direct, bold, and irrefutable affirmation of the Torah, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And if I came up to you and mm-hmm. said to you something that you know was in opposition to Yahweh's words, and you believe me, you'd be an idiot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. So here's his word. I'm telling you, my will, yeah, and is for the sake of demonstrating and proving my sense of integrity, my sense of commitment to the vindicating nature, which means the liberating, acknowledging that you are not guilty. That the saving nature of my Torah, that my Torah is empowering, it is enriching, it is enabling, and it is tzedak. It is vindicating. Wow. So that would mean that Paul lied when he said that the Torah was incapable of saving, when God says right here that not only am I desirous of the Torah's ability to vindicate, but I'm here to prove it. That's my desire, is to prove its worth in vindicating. But, of course, it's more than just vindication. He says that the Torah is also nurturing, empowering, enriching, and enabling. And when you're part of Yahweh's family, that's the first thing that you learn, is that, yeah, okay, by participating in God's family, by answering his invitations to meet with him 7 times a year, that we are vindicated, which means that we're saved. Okay, that's fine. The part of the Torah that is really cool is that it enriches us. It's empowering. It empowers us. It enables us as the covenant's children. That's the part of the Torah that every participant in the covenant loves. Wouldn't you agree, Larry? The fixation on salvation is almost meaningless in comparison to the benefits of the Torah enriching and empowering and enabling us.
Salvation is a very poor way to describe being enriched by a billion times.
You know? Correct.
I think salvation is kind of a term that's thrown out there, like this is where it stops. Don't worry, you don't have to die, and then we can all go to a grave site and pretend we're going to meet up with them later in this place, this heaven.
Right. Yeah, to be saved sounds like if you're on your last breath and you've been saved, you get another breath. You know, you're about ready to be killed and you get a stay of execution. That's salvation. But when you're talking about being empowered to the tune of the square of the speed of light by 186,000 times 186,000, you know, at that point, salvation is just really not quite at the keeping at the same level as that kind of an empowerment. And you're being enriched to the point that as one of the covenant children, you inherit the entire universe. That's a little bit beyond salvation.
Yeah, I'd say that gets beyond the bare minimum, you know. And that's really, you know, because they operate out of fear.
Right. Or being enabled. You're talking about being enabled by the Torah. What's going to happen is that we go from being three-dimensional, stuck in time, and really incapable of defying even gravity. So we're essentially a three-dimensional object on operating in two dimensions because we can't jump up very high and stay there. And we're certainly stuck in time. We become seven-dimensional. I mean, just think of how infinitely superior that's going to be in terms of our capabilities. You can now go to the furthest galaxy and explore the all new solar systems, and you can get there not after spending billions of years trying to get. You get there in a fraction of a second, and when you're there, you can stay there as long as you want. Without eating into the time that you have available to enjoy. It's just unbelievably superior.
Yeah, well, you know, everything in the church is and religion in general is designed for submission. So you can't give people too much of a glimpse of the truth.
Yeah. but it's still laid out here for us. And by the way, all this comes from the Torah. So when Paul, who's the founder of the Christian religion, says that the Torah is enslaving, what part of enslavement do you get from you're vindicated, you're enriched, you're enabled, and you're empowered?
Well, I guess you get that if you believe that Torah means law, which we know it doesn't. There's not one aspect of Torah that means law. And then you would also get that... If you believed that following a bunch of laws was the answer, and there's a difference between observing and doing.
Laws restrict.
Yeah.
Teaching enables.
Yeah.
Laws constrain your ability to do many things, where teaching empowers you to be more than you would otherwise be. The very context.
That's called the Torah freedom, the ultimate freedom.
The ultimate freedom. Exactly. And that's what Yah was saying here. Now, he goes on. This wasn't the end of his presentation. So he's telling us that his desire is to demonstrate the worth of his Torah's ability to vindicate, to empower, to enrich, and to enable. And he says, listen, and pay attention to me, so that you can respond appropriately to me, my family, and my people. To me, listen, carefully considering, weighing, testing, evaluating, and thinking about what you hear, and then respond. Because indeed, the Torah, the source of teaching and guidance from me, shall be brought forth and shall be disseminated, and by my means to justify justifiably resolve disputes will accordingly shine upon and enlighten my family.
Would that be the Pekudim he's talking about?
Yeah, actually, he's talking about the Mishpat, the justify the means to resolve disputes. Those are the Mishpat. But he's saying here that now, this is in Yashaya. Yashaya was revealed in in around 770 BCE. And he's saying, you need to be listening to me. And what he's telling us is that his Torah is going to shine brightly in our midst, that his Torah is from him, and that it's going to be brought forth and disseminated as the means to resolve disputes and will shine upon and enlighten my family. So the only way for this to occur is that the literal manifestation of the Torah, Yahusha, can justifiably enable our vindication through the Mishpat by way of the seven invitations to meet with Yahuwah. But for the Torah to be widely distributed, particularly in enlightening and shining upon Yahuwah's family, he's speaking of what's going to happen upon his return. So he's saying that his Torah is responsible for resolving our disputes, but ultimately it's going to be distributed and shining as a brilliant light on the family. He's talking about what happens when he reaffirms his Torah upon his return. We'll have to talk more about this when Shattering Mist continues after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. Yahweh is using two words, neither of which are the primary word for listen, so he's trying to convey more than just listen. Kashap means to listen, paying attention so that you can respond appropriately. And then we have azan, which means listen in such a way that you're actively contemplating and considering what you're hearing, so that you're weighing what you're hearing, evaluating it, thinking about it. And so here is God now, after he's told us that his Torah is his heart's desire, that his Torah is his means to vindicate, to empower, to enrich, and to enable. He says, listen to me. Now, if you want to listen to him, you need to read his Torah. Listen to me. Pay attention to me so you can respond appropriately to me, my family, and my people. To me, listen, carefully considering, weighing, testing, evaluating, and thinking about what you hear so that you can respond. Because indeed, the Torah from me shall be brought forth and shall be disseminated as my means to justifiably resolve disputes, and it will accordingly shine upon and enlighten the family. Now, what he's talking about here is a two-phase issue here. First, the living manifestation of the Torah is Yahusha, and that's what he's telling us, and that Yahusha's fulfillment of the first four Mikrei is going to resolve the disputes which separate us.
Now, can I take a shot at those?
Sure.
Let's see. For Pesach, he acted as the Pesach lamb, the Passover
Correct.
Lamb.
Correct.
The next day, he was in Sheol.
Right.
Why? Well, that was to perfect us. He served as a ransom.
That right.
Was, you know, for the family. Those
removing the yeast of politics and religion from us.
Yeah, and then day three was Bikurim, which was first fruits, firstborn male fruits, and
right.
He rose. And
right.
So then.
Firstborn children. Wow. He was the firstborn child of the covenant.
Those must have been the 3 days he told the Pharisees they would witness, as opposed to being dead
right.
in a tomb for 3 days.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And then he, of course, fulfilled on the promise of Shavuot, the promise of the Shabbat, the oath of the
seven.
Later. Yeah, enriching and empowering us in accordance with this testimony. And then ultimately he's going to shine the light of his Torah inside of all of us, writing his Torah in us. And he goes on to say, then he shall reveal the glorious presence and the manifestation of power of Yahweh. And all living creatures, they will see Yado, the unity of Yah. Indeed, he is the word, the verbal spokesman, and the mouth of Yahweh. But there's only been one human manifestation of the word of Yahweh, the Torah. There's only been one individual who was literally the mouth of Yahweh. That would be Yahusha. And he's predicting here that when he comes, he will be a literal manifestation of the word of Yahweh. Now, when he's saying this, he's also, hasn't he just in the previous statement defined what his word was comprised of?
Yes.
The Torah. So, how do you separate Yahusha from the Torah when you're reading this?
Well, when you're reading a lot of it, you can't. But, I mean, obviously, that can't be done.
It can't be done. And it just can't be done. If you view Yahusha as in any way, shape, or form, as anything other than the human manifestation of the Torah, as the mouth of Yahweh, as the means of Yahweh to vindicate us by way of his Torah promises, then you have completely ignored what Yahweh has said through his most important prophet, Yahshua. It's as simple as that, folks. You got no wiggle room here. If you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, or if you're a religious Jew, God has completely pulled the rug of your religion out from underneath your feet. You know, you're either going to listen to him, read his Torah, come to know him by name as Yahweh, recognize that his Torah, its teaching, its guidance, its directions that empower, enrich, nurture, enable, and save. And that Yahusha is that human corporeal manifestation of the Torah. You either come to that conclusion, that is your perspective, you accept that is true, or you do not know God. You are not part of his family. You are not saved. The means to empowerment, to enrichment, to nurturing, to salvation, to knowing Yahweh and engaging in a relationship with him is through the Torah. Full stop. That is the only answer.